team. All right. All right. Everybody repeat after me. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Don't forget that. Amen. You know, I think that's important. Sometimes we worry about too many things that don't matter, but that's the most important thing. So, all right. We're going to continue. If you got your bulletin, on the back is the outline for today. And we're going to continue on our theme of prayer. Last week, if you were here, we kind of talked about the basics of prayer, the parts and the purposes of prayer. And you know, you can see over there we've got the different parts or the acts, the adoration, the confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Those are the different parts that we can pray. And we probably are familiar with those, but I want to encourage you that it's not just knowing it, it's doing it is what really is most important. So if you weren't here last week, down on the table, you can go pick it up. There are these prayer bracelets, and you're welcome to come get one. Some of them have a keychain ring around. If you don't like to wear bracelets, you can grab one and use that as a keychain. I saw several people have done that this week, so that's there for you to take this morning. Next week, we're going to look at some, I guess, prayer preventers, things that keep us from praying, keep our prayers from being effective. And then the following week, on August 30th, we'll be finishing off kind of talking about some prayer perplexities, things that maybe we don't understand in prayer. Things, while we sometimes we pray, we feel like God is not answering, or we feel very distant. Different questions like that. We'll look at those things. So I'm looking forward to it. Hope you'll be here every Sunday you can. But today we're looking at the practices of prayer. These are some things that I hope that is very applicable for you to do. And I hope when you leave the sanctuary this morning, or you close out your phone or your device or whatever you're watching with online, that you'll come away with like one thing that you're going to commit to the Lord to do. And I told you last week, I said, this week is going to challenge you. And I mean that. I want to challenge you to take a step up in your prayer life. You may say, Brother John, I'm doing good with my prayer life. I'm already praying for this and my family. I'm doing this and my church. But I want to just to encourage you, just like we all need to improve our walk with the Lord, we can all improve our prayer life as well. Whether that's, you know, you say, oh, I'm praying 3 hours a day. Well, go, if you're that awesome, pray 3 hours and 5 minutes, you know. Whatever the Lord leads you to, I just want to encourage you to do that more. And then come tell me how you pray 3 hours a day. So after that, so wow. So, all right. So this morning we're going to look at the practices of prayer. I want to share four areas with you that I think that if we can learn to kind of make some habits and some practices of these prayers, you will improve your prayer life. On the outline there, number one is our posture. Let me read, and I'm gonna break up the scriptures because we're jumping around about three different places. So I'm gonna read the scriptures as we get to some of these different points. But let's go back to where we were last week again, to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, and we're gonna kind of look at some of the different areas that we didn't look at last week. But Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. Let's talk about the posture of prayer first today. Verse 5 says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer. If you'll skip just a little bit, go to verse 16 of the same chapter. Jesus teaches on prayer, on fasting here. Look what he says here in verse 16. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So I want to point out two different postures that I believe the scriptures talk about in this. The first one is a posture of, I kind of call it humility. Maybe there's a better word for it. Maybe it could be like you're not advertising it, you know, secrecy or something like that. Our prayer life, there are times when we need to share, and especially when we pray for each other, we need to share our prayer time. We need to do that. But Jesus is teaching here in these scriptures that it's nothing that we want to make it something that we brag about. And you see the two different examples there. He talks about prayer in verse 6 in this first section. He says, go into your room, close the door. We're not going to advertise that, oh, I'm praying and blah, 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 you know, and toot our own horn, so to speak. But Jesus says, go in your own room and close the door. This is something that I really haven't done much of myself as far as like going into a room and actually, having a prayer closet up until recently. And sometime last year, in the house we used to live in, we had a big enough closet. It was huge. We miss that closet now because the house we moved to is a little bit smaller, but that's okay. But I miss that big closet, But that was a place that I could go in there. Amy was at work, kids were doing whatever. I could go in there and just get on my knees and pray. And even though it was kind of symbolic, Jesus is talking about, go and close your door. It was something that was just, I'd never had really done that up until maybe a year or so ago. And I experienced it, I'm like, okay, well, this is powerful. And so for you and I both, that's one posture that we need to look at is maybe you don't have a closet you can go into because there's too many things in it or whatever. But what Jesus is saying there is take some time and find a quiet place. So many times in the scriptures say that Jesus went off to a solitary place, to a quiet place by it, so he could be alone by himself. And that's the key part of this passage here. So that when we go to the Lord in prayer, it's not necessarily always for something we want to publicly announce and for everybody to hear us. And sometimes we have those times. We pray together corporately. But Jesus is saying here for our prayer time, make that your time with the Lord. And then you skip ahead back to the section here about fasting. He says there in verse 17, he says, put oil on your head, wash your face. So, when someone fasts, they're going without food or they're skipping something to take that time and to go to the Lord in prayer about that. Jesus here is saying, don't advertise that. When we started doing, when I printed these prayer guides that are back there on the music folder back there, the Lord impressed on me to do some things and then I was like, oh, I'll share that with the church. Maybe they can do that. We can do that together. And then the Lord just quieted me and said, no, don't share what I've asked you to do with the church yet. Maybe there'll be a time, maybe he'll allow me to do that. But I just felt like the Lord said, no, just let it be your time. I don't want to influence you. If, oh, Brother John, you're doing that, well, I better do that, then it becomes some kind of a competition thing. Well, he's doing that, so I gotta step up my game, or she's doing this, so I've gotta, and maybe that's part of it. But here Jesus is saying, hey, don't advertise, don't purposely go out of your way to tell people that, look at me, I'm doing this. That's your private time with the Lord. That's really the first posture that I see there. Twice in the scripture, and you see this on the outline there, these are the next two blanks, there's this issue of the unseen versus the seeing there. What am I saying? It's a play on words here in scripture, starting going back to, excuse me as I find myself here, verse 5 and verse 16 twice, it says the same thing. It says here, but when you pray, go in your room, close the door, pray to your Heavenly Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So there's this kind of play on words about we pray to God who's unseen, but the God who sees everything will reward you. And it's the flip side of that. Twice he says here, those people that pray on the street corners or they go to the temple and pray loudly for everybody to hear them, he said, Jesus says twice, they have their reward. If that's all you're after in your prayer life is try to impress somebody, if you go into a Bible study class and, oh, I'm going to pray today and my teacher's going to ask me to pray, so I'm going to use this big 25-cent word and, you know, look at me, that's the wrong reason to pray. Take that attitude and get rid of it. If that's in your mind, if the Lord leads you to pray and you pray to him like you're talking to him like you regularly would. Don't puff it up. But you see, there's that seen versus unseen. So that's the first check that we need to look at in our posture of prayer. Are we praying to be heard by people? Are we the first one in our Bible study class to say, oh, I want to pray, you know, and we maybe don't allow somebody else to grow in their prayer life because we're the ones always volunteering to pray? Maybe the Lord wants to use somebody else to stretch them in a way. So just pray through that and see what the Lord may have you do. Does your posture of humility there need to change any? And then if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 11, we're going to look at the second posture, which you can see on your outline, is to pray boldly. There are a couple of different passages that that Jesus talks about our prayer posture being bold in our prayer life. But I chose this one because it's the Luke version of the same passage that we're looking at in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer here. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Luke 11, verse 5, then Jesus goes to give this example here about an attitude of prayer. He says, starting in verse 5, he says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. But listen to verse 8. He says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So Jesus is teaching here that when we come to the Lord in prayer, when we go to God in prayer time, we need to be secretive, not boastful. But secondly, we need to come boldly before him. And this is what, if you read through the book of James, James teaches the same thing. James says, if you go to the Lord and you're not expecting anything from the Lord, then you're probably not going to receive something. We need to go in our prayer life to have expectations. All right, Lord, I know you will hear me. Lord, and I know you will answer me. It might not be in the way I want, Lord, but I know you're God and you will answer. So we need to have that same attitude in our prayer life, to be bold, to boldly approach the throne. The parable that came to my mind was the parable of the persistent widow. You remember that from scripture where, the Bible says that the judge was neither a God-fearing man or someone who cared about men. So he didn't care about God or mankind. He was this judge, and he was ruthless. But because of the persistence of this widow, he granted her what she wanted. And so when we go to the Lord in prayer, let's first look at our posture. We need to be humble, but we also need to be bold. So you might think, well, those things are opposite. Not really. We can kind of keep secret. We can keep our prayer life humble. We can not advertise it, but we can also boldly go before the Lord. So check and say, how am I doing on that? Am I going to the Lord with like, well, whatever you want, Lord, to happen, maybe, you know? Or do we say, Lord, I know that you will answer. I know that you hear me, God, and I'm asking. And so that attitude is key. Second thing on your outline is our preparation. Now, for this, I'm thinking of spiritual warfare. If you got your Bibles, last place I want to ask you to turn is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. You're probably familiar with, you know, Paul's armor of God and the different pieces that Paul kind of illustrates beautifully there. He's probably chained to a Roman guard, most biblical scholars think, as he's writing this, looking at this Roman centurion or this guard who's got all this armor on and his sword and his feet with boots and a belt and a breastplate. But I believe the most important thing as part of this armor of God comes right after all these different pieces that he lists. In verse 18, look what he says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And then verse 19, we go, Paul even asked for prayer for himself. He says, pray also for me that wherever I may open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We all could say, Lord, that's our prayer. That's my prayer. So the number two here is our preparation. One thing that we can practically do in our prayer life is to pray through our spiritual warfare. Now, sometimes we're not always aware of the spiritual warfare that's going on. Sometimes we don't think about that. We just get so busy in our day. I got to get up and do this, feed the dog and fix breakfast and wake my child up and then go, you know, and we just get bogged down with a lot of go, 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 go. But I think the very best thing we can do is start a day in a time of prayer. Ashlyn, go ahead and put the picture up there next, I think. Yeah, okay. This is a picture from about 4 or 5 years ago. The students were going to Centrifuge. All right, you can see poor Dylan. He was the lone boy that trip, that year. And all those other girls, I'm sure he hated it. Okay, okay. But yeah, that year we went to camp. Now, usually what I would do before we took off, got in the bus and drove to Florida or to the mountains in Tennessee, one of the things I would do was take the bus and go kick the tires a little bit, have the oil check, make sure everything was good. That's probably a better time to check a vehicle out before. Just think, if you're going to drive, you know, cross country to California or something, I don't know why you want to go to California, but anyway, that's okay, it's beautiful out there. But if you're going to take a trip, probably it would be better to check your vehicle out before you go than after when you got back. Oh, we made that trip. Now let me change the oil. And, you know, all right, it makes more sense, right? So if we think about spiritual warfare, it's all the time. There's never a time that the devil and the world is not trying to attack you and pull you off your game as a Christian. We need to bathe ourselves in preparation in spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you have a habit of praying at night, and that's fine if that works for you. But if you're trying to start up something, you want to start a new habit, I want to encourage you to check it out before you start your day. If you can wake up a little early, students, I know it's hard. Senior adults, I know it's hard. It's hard for me. Sometimes it's hard to get up early, you know. But set that alarm clock, one snooze more, you know, 9 more minutes or whatever, and say, I'm going to start my day spending it in prayer for my day, for the battle which I'm about to face. I'm about to put my feet on the floor, or maybe you roll out of bed and you pray by the side of your bed for the day that you're about to experience. So if you're trying to start a habit, I want to encourage you, you can pray anytime, but one of the things I want to encourage you to do is pray beforehand. Get your mindset, because we talked about this in our senior adult Bible study Thursday. The battle of spiritual warfare is fought right here in between your ears. This is in your mind. There are the powers and principalities that we face are all right here. All right, number three on your outline is the perpetualness of prayer. And this is the perpetualness. This is the P I had to kind of make a stretch for, you know, trying to make everything all nice and alliterated. But what I'm talking about here is praying without ceasing. In our prayer life, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, or the NIV says pray continually. These are things that we need to learn to be consistent and frequent with. We need to kind of keep the same habits, if so to speak. If we want to build habits, you know. When I grew up, I grew up on some reruns of the old Batman show. The one where they did the pow, sock, whack, you know, all that stuff. That was just cool to me, you know. And at the end of every Batman episode back then, in black and white, I think it was, it said, see you next time, same bat time, same bat channel, same, you know. All right, so what they're doing, they're trying to say, hey, don't forget, tune in next week, same time, you know, just like your shows and things you watch today. They try to build some stability there and some continuity in your attention for that, for whatever show they're trying to get you to watch on TV. It's the same thing in our prayer life. God wants us to be consistent. He wants us to have the same bat prayer time, same bat place. You know, so I want to encourage you, if you're struggling to be consistent in your prayer life, let me encourage you to try to keep things on a similar time scale. Maybe you pray at the same time every morning or every evening. Maybe you pray at the same place. One thing I've done, I will get up and go down to the kitchen after I get dressed, and I have my Bible there. I'll read, and I'll spend some time praying while I'm feeding myself, and that's my time with the Lord, and that's something that I try to do every single day, so it becomes a habit. And if you're struggling with having a habit of prayer, let me encourage you, find something similar every single time so that you can build that. When you've built that up, then you can maybe stretch a little bit, change it up a little bit. I don't know who the experts are, but I've always said, experts say it takes, you know, 21 days to create a habit of you doing something, whether it's, I think about Darren running. He, you know, started saying, I'm going to run for 30 days. That's over the 21 days. But to continually do something for day after day after day, you will create that habit. And so when it comes to your prayer life, it's the same thing. And then finally here, number four in your outline is the partners in prayer. And this is where I want to kind of challenge you a little bit this morning. There are different people that we can partner with and pray for. If you are married, I think the very best person that you can pray with is your spouse. Pastor Ben was always talking about men. You know, we had the men's breakfasts. We need to bring those back, but occasionally. But he would say, men, pray with your wives. Pray with your spouse. And I think that's a great thing. You can pray for them. You can pray with them. There's so many different areas. You can see on the outline there on the bottom of your bulletin, I've listed four different areas here. And this is where I want to challenge you. You may say, Pastor John, I'm already praying for my spouse. Great. But maybe the Lord is impressing you to add somebody to pray for today. There's a prayer partner, somebody you can pray with. I thought about throwing up on the screen a picture of my crazy prayer partner, Matt. He's a prayer partner I've had now for a little over a year, and he attends 12 Stone Church with his family. He and I get together once a week, usually on Tuesday or Thursday, and we eat and we pray for each other. We share prayer requests. We hold each other accountable. How are you doing with this? And we pray for each other, and we pray for each other during the week. But over the years, I remember the first time I asked somebody to be a prayer partner with me. It was probably about 20 years ago. Had a gentleman come, and what just felt led. Heard people talk about it all the time, but I never did anything with it. And I said, "Hey, Todd, Pastor was talking about prayer partners. Would you like to do that?" And so we started doing that. And over the years, I've had different prayer partners. Sometimes I've gone periods without having a prayer partner because they moved or, it just took some time for me to find somebody. But that kind of comes and goes. Maybe that's something that you have never even considered before. I want to encourage you to think about that. I would encourage you also to, if you're seeking a prayer partner, find somebody that is, you know, if you're a female, your prayer partner is a female. If you're a guy, you find a guy. That's the options there. You can share things from a female or male perspective that they will understand, and you can pray for each other. If the Lord is pushing you today to start praying for that, Lord, send me somebody that could be a prayer partner for me. I'm going to give you a minute here as we close out for you to advertise on the help wanted over here that you would like a prayer partner. I'll give you some instructions in just a minute. Another way that we can pray for each other is what, like it says in James 5:16, it says, you know, confess your sins one another, pray for one another. We can pray for one another. You may take a mental picture of the people that are here today. And as you go home today, you go about your business with your family, whenever you have that prayer time with the Lord, you know, hey, Lord, just, I'm just going to use Linda as an example. I saw Linda there, and she just looked a little stressed out, so I just want to pray for her. You'll look stressed out. So, but, you know, take that mental snapshot and remember people that you interacted with for that day. It could have been a server at lunch or dinner or something that, man, they were just having a bad day, and you say, please pray for her. I don't even remember her name, but you know who she is, and you know, and pray for one another. And then the last thing I want to encourage you to do is to be a prayer partner in the different missions and ministries that we have at Westside, and also that you know in our community. You know, Westside supports, if you look at our budget, we have different missions and ministries that we support. I talked with Tim Cummings this past week. It's been a couple of weeks since I talked to him and wanted to see how he was doing. He said, they're doing okay. He said, ministry is rough. He said, we're not getting out. He said, it's, you know, that's communication. So I want to just share that with you so that maybe you will pray for Tim Cummings and his ministry there in the International Village area and for Clarkston and all the areas that he serves in those apartments. Maybe it's something else that we support that you want to pray for. But, you know, on my prayer list, I kind of kicked myself. Man, I didn't put the ministries here. So I added mine, you know, pray for Tim Cummings and his ministry. I added that personally for myself. But those are different areas that we can partner with and we can actually practice our prayer with. So wherever you're at today, as we close out here, I want to use this board again, and Phoebe will be down here in just a minute to help you, because I realize it's kind of up more because I can't do anything straight. I decided to be weird and make it all weird angles. But what I want to ask you to do today, if you want to come get a prayer bracelet and you didn't get one, that's great. But over here are some post-it notes and some pens and markers. What I want to ask you to take time, we're going to pray in just a minute, and seek the Lord. You don't have to do this today. You may come back next week. You may pray through it this week and come back next week and add to it. Don't do it because I'm asking you to, but I want to ask you to take a post-it note and maybe write on there who you feel the Lord is leading you to pray for. You might just put spouse on there. You might say a friend. You don't have to get specific if you know who that is. Maybe you want to write on there praying for a ministry or Tim Cummings or whatever, and just put that on here. Mr. Phoebe will help kind of stick those up there. If you know, I know we have some children and different areas, but we're going to put that on there. Now, if you are considering maybe looking for a prayer partner, what I want to ask you to do is put your name on a post-it note, and I want you to just circle it or box it out with the marker as a way of saying, hey, I'm maybe looking for somebody that I could pray with. So this will be kind of like a help wanted type thing, okay? You may go up there and you see, well, I saw Rebecca go up there and put her name up there. She's looking for somebody to pray with, and so am I. So maybe we could pray together. And I understand how that goes. Sometimes finding a prayer partner, you have to, you know, kind of seek that out and say, you know, maybe that's a good fit, maybe it's not. But as you pray that out, but if you feel led to put your name up there, again, just circle it or box it, and that lets people know that, hey, I need somebody to pray with me, whether that prayer is weekly, twice a month, once a month, you know, you can figure out those details as you go. But I want to do something that's practical. If you're feeling led to step up your prayer game. You know, this is a way you can kind of hold yourself accountable and say, hey, I'm committing to praying for my spouse. I'm committing to pray for a prayer partner. I'm committed to pray for one of the ministries here at Westside, or one of the things we talked about. So that's what I want to do this morning with the board. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for our church. I pray for our members. Lord, I pray in just the short amount of time that we're talking about how we can apply prayer to our life, Lord, I pray that you're working, your Holy Spirit is moving on the hearts and minds of the people that are here, that are listening, for those that are at home. Lord, I would pray that we would be obedient, Lord. Maybe there's somebody that is on our mind right now. Lord, I pray that we would commit to praying for them, that we would commit to developing our own prayer life to be more consistent, that we would commit to making our prayer time, our posture better. We would come to you boldly, Lord, that we know you hear us, God. We know that you will answer us. And we come with an expectation, Lord, that you are going to work and you're going to do something. Whatever you are moving in our midst, Lord, I pray that we will act, that we will respond. But Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning that do not have a relationship with you. Maybe they've heard us talking about that and talking about putting our faith in Jesus, and it's by grace that we are saved. Lord, your word teaches that if we will call upon your name, that you will save us, God. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Maybe you've been checking out Christianity. Maybe you've been trying to understand who Jesus really is and what he's done for us. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He gave himself completely up. He willingly went to the cross for your and my sin, to die for my sin, for your sin, so that we could have a relationship with God. He paid for our sin debt. And if you believe that this morning, you can pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, by saying a simple prayer like this, saying, "Dear God, I know that you love me. I know that you died for my sins. Today, Lord, I want to give you my life the best way I know how. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Today I turn from my ways of living for myself. I place my faith and trust in you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer this morning, if you want to come down, I'd just love to shake your hand and pray for you and kind of help you along with your next steps, what you can do as a new believer.